Well, it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Lisa Tiemann. Lisa is an assistant professor of soil biology at Michigan State University. She's in the department of plant, soil, and microbial sciences. She's also one of the featured presenters at Agriculture Innovation Day, and she's talking about finding the right mix for soil health. Lisa, pleasure to meet you.
Oh, thank you. I'm very happy to be talking with you today.
Okay, Lisa, let's give our listeners an overview. You work with microbes. You work all over the world. What kind of research is it that you do in general?
Well, I think probably just it boils down to understanding how our soils provide all of the provisions that we need to grow crops. And one of the really, really critical components of that is the life in the soil. And so as a biologist, I study life. That's basically the definition of biology, and I just study that life in soils. I focus primarily on the life that you can't see with the naked eye. So we call those microorganisms. Mm-hmm. And those microorganisms, they are things like bacteria and fungi, and also things that you don't maybe hear as much about that are the predators in the soil. So the lions and tigers of our soil system, the things like the protozoa, the amoebas, and the ciliates and things that actually feed on the bacteria. So those are the organisms that I'm primarily interested in. And then just trying to understand how they help to provide water and nutrients for plants, and then how they help to form and stabilize soil organic matter, which I'm sure everybody knows is really important for a healthy soil.
Well, that's interesting because there's a whole world teeming in the soils. Most people in their gardens, they're tilling the soil, or they look at soil, what have you, in the landscape. I mean, they sort of see something that's sort of monolithic. They have no idea what's brewing beneath the surface.
That's right. And so today at Ag Innovations, I'm going to take people on a little bit of a soil safari. And so we're going to use microscopes so that people can see all of the life that's actually teeming in these soils. And so you'll see hundreds and hundreds of bacteria. They're wiggling around and moving and doing their thing. And within that, you'll see the ciliates hunting and feeding on that bacteria. You'll see amoeba as they move slowly and engulf bacteria and are eating them. So the soil is a really dynamic and active environment. And that environment is active pretty much 365 days of the year, regardless of whatever else is going on.
So some of soil health you assess through a microscope and looking at some of these microorganisms. What about on top of the soil? Are there ways in terms of the way crops grow, or grasses grow, forages grow? Is that another way of assessing the health of what's going on in the soil?
Well, I think you can see pretty dramatic differences if you have a healthy soil next to one that's not and you're growing the same crop. Mm. You definitely will see differences in yields. I see that in Africa where I have one farmer who's got, you know, one small hectare, and in that hectare they're applying some compost or using goat manure as a compost base and applying that to that field. And then you look at their neighbor's field where they're not doing that, and the corn is about a foot to 2 feet shorter. And not as productive. And so it's really obvious, you know, when you put soils side by side, it's the same soil type. The only difference is that one is healthier, so it has more soil organic matter. That soil organic matter is the base of our food web that supports all this life in the soil. So you can think about it as like the Serengeti in a grassland in Africa, where the grasses are, you know, the base for all of that life that's living on that grassland. And so in our soils, the soil organic matter is the base of our food web. So we have that base, and then we have the bacteria and fungi that are like our gazelles and zebra, and then we've got our, you know, like I said, our lions and our cheetahs that are things like the amoeba and the ciliates and even nematodes and other things people may have heard of.
The ability of these microbes to break down toxic substances in the soil as a way of mitigating pollution, soil contamination, is that still an ongoing area of research, and are some major advances being made in that arena?
Yeah, so we're becoming aware of a lot of contaminants in soils, pollutants everywhere, but in soils in particular, things that come from our, newer chemicals. And, you know, there's a lot of different things out there. It's not my area or field of expertise. I know that there are a lot of people that work on bioremediation and trying to understand how we can use microorganisms to help capture things like heavy metals or plastic particulates and plasticizers and things that are really becoming very prevalent and abundant in our environment. But yeah, that's a whole other field of study.
My guest is Dr. Lisa Thiemann. She's an assistant professor and soil biologist at Michigan State University. She's also a featured speaker at Agriculture Innovation Day at the Lake City Research and Extension Center. Lisa, you mentioned colder environments a while back, Antarctica, the Arctic, and what have you. What are some things in general, what are some relationships in general, I guess?
Obviously, life in soil is very dependent on water, and so that's one good way to think about it. All of our, lions and tigers, things like amoeba and ciliates, they have to have water in order to operate and function. And so you can imagine that if you change things so that you have more drought and then you have more intensive rain events on either end of that, then, you're asking those organisms to survive for a much longer period of time in between those rain events. And that's not always the healthiest, for our soils. And so it's going to change the way that those organisms interact and the dynamics of the system. Another aspect of it that I'm actually really interested is winter and what happens during the winter if we experience some of the predictions for Michigan. One of the things that we're likely to see is a reduced snowpack in the winter. And so the snow is actually a very good insulator and keeps soils insulated when it's on the ground. But when you don't have it, and like last winter, we had a lot of freezing and thawing that happened, and our soils were not insulated against that kind of disturbance. So you get that cold, and the soils freeze, and then they thaw again. And every time that happens, you always get a really big flush of CO2 as microbes kind of wake up and get back to work. And so there's this dynamic of this freezing and thawing cycle that has a really big impact on microbial communities, changing their physiology and how they're working in their system, and also changing who's there, which microorganisms can survive in that kind of harsh disturbance regime.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because we're just reading about the time, lately in the media about the permafrost in Alaska no longer being permafrost. And you talk about freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing. What happens when these soils that have been frozen for centuries begin to thaw?
Well, so what happens then is if that is no longer frozen, then that's a lot of basically food and energy for microbes to start eating. And so the concern is then they're going to eat all that carbon that was locked away. Mm-hmm. And as they're eating it, they respire CO2 just like we do. Most of the microbes are heterotrophs, and that means they're eating and respiring CO2. And so all of that carbon that was kind of locked away may actually end up in the atmosphere. And then there are other organisms, too, that when you have that much water, you get an anaerobic environment or an environment where there's not really much oxygen. And those organisms then are doing another kind of metabolism, but they produce methane, which is another greenhouse gas that we have to be concerned about.
In your session today, finding the right mix for soil health, what do you hope that the people who attend your session take home with them?
Well, I want to give people a sense for what are these things in the soil and why do we need to care about soil biology, or why is soil biology such an important cornerstone for thinking about soil health. I want people we have a nice soil pit dug, and I want people to see how deep the roots go. And we have some really nice earthworm channels that we have some roots growing into where you can really see that interaction between the biology and the plants. So those are the main take-home points.
Well, I think I'm going to sashay over a little bit later and take a look at that soil pit. I've been talking with Dr. Lisa Thiemann. She's an assistant professor of soil biology at Michigan State University, and she's also talking one of the featured presenters at Ag Innovation Day up here at the Lake City Research and Extension Center. Lisa, pleasure having you on the program, and so good to meet you.
Oh, thank you very much. My pleasure.